Reformed Church.
The concept of the gifts of the Spirit, one point I want to make real quick, is that usually when we talk about the various gifts, we're usually trying to debunk what people typically say about them. That basically, you have this gift, I have this gift, which means basically I can't do what you can do, you can't do what I can do, essentially, because God just works these certain things through each person. That's obviously not true, and so we usually attempt to debunk that by saying, you know, Peter says that we're stewards of the manifold grace of God, and that's in context of the gifts of the Spirit, and he's basically, that means all the different folds and facets of the grace of God, and it's one and the same Spirit that works all these things, and basically, the point we're usually trying to make with that is that the gifts of the Spirit are talking about different offices that we hold in the church. So God will have a certain emphasis in your life for a particular ministry or office, and that can change at times, but there will be a particular thing that God uses you for and will emphasize that thing in your life. But just because, for instance, someone doesn't have the gift of tongues doesn't mean you can't speak in tongues. It just means that that may not be a particular office that God emphasizes and exercises in your life for ministry purposes, for instance. So, for instance, there's a gift of giving. There's a gift of showing mercy. And, of course, it doesn't mean that we can't show mercy one to another or we can't give just because you don't have the gift of giving or something. Obviously, that would be silly. But some people, their ministry that God emphasizes is to give. I mean, you could, for that matter, God could just call you to where maybe you're not standing behind a pulpit, but you make a lot of money and you just give and you support the various ministries that are out there and doing that. That's awesome. So, but what I want to get to was, it is also true, though, while we're usually trying to emphasize the point that we have all the fullness of God, right? We're complete in Him. Colossians says that in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are also complete or full in Him. It is also true, though, that God will, it's an important point that God will emphasize a certain thing in your life at given times for the task that He's called you to. And that is an important thing to talk about, because sometimes, you know, you might see someone else in the body of Christ doing something, and you just assume that if they do it that way, then that's the way that God wants to do it through you. Now, again, I'm not saying that God can't work anything through you, that He can work through somebody else, but that may not be what God wants to emphasize in your life. In fact, in the body of Christ, especially when you work in close proximity with people, God, I'm making this, I'm going to submit this as an opinion, but I don't believe, especially when you work in close proximity with people, that God is not going to emphasize the same thing in someone else that He's emphasizing in you, because then we'd all be doing the same thing, right? Like, God will emphasize certain things, and that's what a gift is. He will gift you with certain graces from on the inside of you to work in a particular way, and you just kind of bend in certain ways, and God will do that through you. So it's an important thing to know that, because then you don't end up copying the way in which someone else does something. It's just important that you do things in the way that God's calling you to do them. Of course, always decently and in order, always scriptural, but you do things in the way that God's calling you to do them to serve the church and to serve the world, and basically to do your part in ministry. Okay, really important. But one thing that's really important to understand, and I don't think most people know this, we may know this at this church, but I don't think most people know this, is that there are teaching gifts, and then there are gifts that aren't teaching. So, for instance, in Ephesians 4, it talks about, you know, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets, which people call it the fivefold ministry. That's just a coined term, but just because it names five different offices within the church. And those are teaching ministries, right? If you're a prophet, if you're an apostle, if you're a teacher, an evangelist, or a pastor, those are teaching ministries. And you know that because it goes on to say that those ministries are to bring us all to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto an adult, right? So it's to instill the knowledge of God. Just so you know, I'll explain this a little bit. I can't say too much about this. But those ministries are the ministries it's naming that teach and instill people with the knowledge of Jesus. But while there are other ministries and other gifts, every other gift and office in the church that is not a teaching role is a supporting ministry, okay? And I'm not saying that God hasn't called you to those things. And they are not less important, but they are supporting ministries. But unfortunately, sometimes teaching is the least flashy ministry. For instance, your average Christian, if they were to attend a service and someone gets up and teaches and walks off the stage, and then another person gets up and they have a healing line and people are just falling because of the power of God, and people are being ministered to and healed and legs are growing, people would say, wow, God is with that person, right? But then the teaching ministry is like, well, that's less impressive. Like, that was a good message, but I mean, like, that is really cool. And that's not the way you should look at it. Actually, the leader in that service, if there's a teacher and there's a person who is primarily used in demonstration of working of miracles or healing, which are also gifts and legitimate offices in the body of Christ, the way God sees it actually is the leader there, the person that God would set up as a leader would be the teacher. And this is a supporting ministry. Now, I'm not saying you can't, for instance, have your own ministry. There are people that I know of that have their own ministry, and while they do teach, you can tell from their bend, their lean, that they're primarily used in gifts of healing and in the gift of working in miracles and things of that nature. And that is, like, so vital to the body of Christ. If the whole body was the arm, you know, how would you walk? If the whole body was the nose, how would you see? You know what I'm saying? Like, that Paul even uses these kind of comparisons where every part of the body is necessary, and the office that God has placed you in the body of Christ, which doesn't have to be this lifelong thing, but I'm just saying at the moment, what God has called you to do in the body is vitally important. It's something that He's working through you, therefore it is important. But it's important to know that if it's not a teaching ministry that God has called you to, God can do miracles there. It is a vital ministry, but it is a supporting ministry to the Word. How do I know that? There's a couple things, I'm just going to have to wrap this up quickly. But there's a couple ways you know this. One is Paul even says that prophecy, which is inspired speaking, essentially. You know, by the way, I've heard a lot of people try to define all the different gifts. There's a lot of gifts I don't know how to define exactly. Like, I know generally, but I don't know exactly all the parameters of certain gifts. And most of the people that I've ever heard, let me just say this, pretty much everybody I've ever heard try to define each gift has not given me scriptural proof for it. They've just brought up the Greek or something, and that's not sufficient. You want scriptural proof. But anyhow, prophecy, which is basically like speaking by the Holy Spirit, inspired speaking, Paul says is the most important gift, more than speaking in other tongues even, for instance, right? And various other ministries. That's because it's you're teaching people, because you're ministering to people. A teaching ministry is teaching people how to fish. A gift of, for instance, a gift of working in miracles or healing is giving someone a fish, just to use that analogy that people use. In other words, when you teach people, you're teaching them how to receive from God for themselves. And after they leave that service, they're going to know how to receive from God. A working of healing is an awesome confirmation to the Word and is also ministers to people right where they're at, so that even if they're not there yet in their mind, you can give them healing, but that's giving them a fish. A gift of healing doesn't empower someone to leave the service and know how to receive healing for themselves. It just gives them the fish, right? Where teaching ministry is teaching you how to fish, right? Both are necessary. Because if we didn't have gifts of miracles and healing, then a lot of people would be dead before they even learned. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's important. Well, let's heal them. But I don't believe that that's my bend, but let's just say my, and again, it doesn't mean that I can't work in miracles and healings, but I don't believe that that's my office within the church and that's my bend. But nevertheless, let's say that's what I'm called to. I'm called to the working of miracles. I should see my ministry as I'm healing people, I'm working various miracles in people's lives, whatever it may be, but I should see my ministry as supporting the Word and supporting those who teach. That should be how it's perceived. Again, because teaching is less flashy, people don't always see it that way, but Another way you know that these gifts are supporting ministries is because the Bible says that the Lord confirms the Word with signs and wonders. Confirms, which means to support, give supporting evidence to the Word with signs and wonders. So the Word is important, and signs and wonders are important, but they have their own place, right? Now, when your ministry is the Word, that's a good thing. If your ministry is just the signs and wonders, that's also a good thing. But which one supports which? The signs and wonders support the Word, confirm the Word, point people to the Word, not the other way around. And unfortunately, again, if people go to a service and they see signs and wonders, you should at church. But I'm just saying, if you see that and that's someone's gifting, people would exalt that person to leadership before they would exalt a teacher, and it's the other way around. The teacher should always be the person that is seen as, okay, the leader in the church that we're supporting, therefore. That's how it should work. One more thing on this, and then I'll have to wrap this up. If it's your ministry, let's say you have a gift of healing, and that's just your thing, or you have words of knowledge, right? And you'll be walking down the road, and you know God's giving you words of knowledge to people, and you're giving people wisdom, many times accompanying right with healing. You know, hey, you have this problem in your leg, whatever. Okay, good. And then it softens them up to receive from you because you gave them a word of knowledge that you couldn't know otherwise, except for the Lord. You pray for them. Great. But when you do that, though, you should always be directing people to teaching ministers. You should be saying, because that's not discipling somebody by doing that. And if you're bend, even if you teach, which everybody can teach, but if that's not your bend and that's not your primary ministry, you should be directing them to someone whose primary ministry is that thing, right? Even if I had a worldwide ministry, and it's a worldwide healing ministry, in which I do teach, but my bend, the emphasis, is on healing and working in miracles, I should be, and you know what, I don't think most people are probably humble enough to do this in their heart, but they should be directing people to where they can get discipled if that's not your primary focus. Again, people might say if they're working in a, if they're a worker of miracles or they have a healing ministry, they might say, well, I teach, so I wouldn't have to direct anyone to do that. But there are people, okay, that have teaching ministries in which that is the full emphasis. Discipleship programs, even on our website, right? It's like discipleship and the emphasis is teaching, right? And people have teaching ministries. That's what their focus is. And if that's not your primary bend, you should always in your ministering say, listen, this is awesome. God has called me to this. But if you want to be discipled, even though I teach, I want to direct you to this minister to really get discipled because that's his emphasis. That's where he takes the most time to invest in people. And I don't take that kind of time in discipleship to invest in people. And it should always be directed to, why? Because no person is a one-man band. No person is a one-man band. You can express the fullness of Christ in your life, every attribute of Jesus. But God's not going to call you to do all of those things for your job as a minister. He's not going to emphasize all of that in your gifting, in your office within the church. He's going to have you do this, someone else do this, someone else do this, and we need to cooperate together in one, not trying to copy each other, because then we're not functioning as a body, we're all the nose then. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't make any sense. So we need to function together, but all find our niche and say, this is what God's called me to do. And just so you know, it doesn't mean that, well, I'm a teacher, Pastor Mike, so I can't stack chairs after service, or I can't mop the floor because I'm a teacher. That is lack of humility is what that is. I will help out in any way possible. That doesn't take away the emphasis of God in my life. If God's called me to teach, which is I believe that's what God's called me to do primarily, you know what? My 9-to-5 has a lot to do with teaching, and it also has a lot that has nothing to do with teaching. And it's just like, hey, Pastor Dave, Ms. Kim, whatever I can do to support the word, I do other things. We all do other things. I'm just saying God will emphasize something in your life. So I'm going to have to wrap that up, but I just wanted to give that to you because I don't think that even people, if you have a worldwide ministry and you're known for working in miracles and healing, I don't think that, and maybe I'm wrong, I hope I am, but I'm not sure that many people are humble enough to say, I'm going to direct you to someone whose ministry it is to disciple because I'm a supporting ministry. Even though I might attract the most people because that's my primary ministry is working in miracles, even though people in their carnality will happen, will like to see that many times more than listen to a teaching. And I'm not saying do one or the other. We should be doing both. We should be receiving from healing from people and receiving teaching. But in their carnality, they may attract a lot of people, but they need to be directing so and say, listen, now go to someone who can disciple you. And then we're working together, right? But there is no person that has the gift of healing or working in miracles that is actually the most important gift or the primary gift that needs to be supported. They themselves are a supporting ministry. It's really, really important. I tell audio and video even all the time that when I work in audio or video, we're supporting the word. And that's really what's important, because there is no other kind of gift that will teach people how to fish or teach them how to receive from God except a teaching ministry. That's what you're primarily doing. And it's the knowledge of God. It's not gift of healing. It's not gift of miracles. It's not words of knowledge or words of wisdom. It's not those things that actually equip the saints for the work of the ministry and teach people how to receive from God for themselves. And that's why that is the primary thing. It's God's only law today is to obey by faith and to believe in Jesus. And the only kind of ministries that are actually instilling that faith are teaching ministries. Really, really important to do that. And again, it may be the least flashy thing to teach. And if someone's bouncing off the walls and flying around the room and, you know, standing on their head, and while that may be necessary, we need to just order it correctly and just be mature and spiritually minded to know actually the hierarchy of how the body of Christ works. And that is how it works.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformedchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformedchurch.com.